Has it really been like a month and a half since we last recorded? Because I'm pretty sure it's been about that long.
Oh, we're slacking.
Yeah. So
I'm not going to promise to do better this time.
No, I'm not going to. No. So what are some developments that have happened in our lives in the meantime? First of all, we both got full-time jobs.
Yeah.
So that you know, we can't discount that. That's pretty significant.
At the same time, I've still got a lot of time on my hands.
Well, I was also doing a show all of January.
That's actually true. So I don't think I've talked to you about this, but when my friends are in plays and musicals, I actively don't hang out with them because I know that they're stressed and I don't want to, like, be involved.
So as sad as that makes me, thank you. That is actually very helpful. And I'm now looking back and realizing that that probably was very helpful, that I could just go home and sleep and, like, rest and not...
Because, like, when my friends are in shows, I know how stressful it can be and how, like, taxing it can be.
Yeah.
Especially for people who, like, actually care about being in shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, try to give them as much space as I can so that they can stay focused on... Because I'm a distracting person. I'm a loud person. I do a lot of things.
Mm.
I don't want to... cause problems.
So just so you know, if you're interested in this, there is a local theater company that is very local to right here. Not even a company, just a community theater. They're planning to do Newsies this summer. In case you would be interested in that, I'm just going to throw that out there while it's on my mind so I don't forget to tell you about it later.
I'd do it. I already told Tony I'd do it.
Yeah, it's not Tony.
Wait, who is it?
I'm not going to say it right now.
Is it with them?
No.
Who's it with?
It's local. I'll tell you once we're after. I don't want to say it because I don't want to... I'm paranoid about location stuff.
Right, I gave him my phone number in a previous episode.
Oh, that's true. It's Harriman. Harriman Arts.
They're doing Newsies?
They were supposed to do it last year.
I mean, shoot, I'll audition.
Yeah, so...
I know, is it Michael Kerr?
Dude, I don't know, but while we're out here...
He's a nice guy. He might, like, have something to do with it.
I'm seriously considering auditioning. Total possibility.
Why not? It'd be fun. Mm-hmm. Let's try to talk Brett into it. He's not a great singer.
Well, you don't need to if you're to do community theater. It's just fun.
I think that Brett should take vocal lessons. Unironically, I believe he'd be a phenomenal singer if he just...
I mean, he has a lot of oomph to his voice.
He has a lot of potential, and he has a deep voice with a lot of power.
He would make a great Sweeney Todd.
He could do some really good bass singing. I think he'd be a better Judge Turpin.
Oh, he'd be a fantastic Judge Turpin.
Like...
Yeah, he'd be great.
While I'm thinking about stuff like that, like, he would slay as Judge Turpin. Hold on, really quick. If I were casting Sweeney Todd from Among Our Friends,
yeah.
I would make you be, what's his name? That, like,
Anthony.
Younger, Anthony.
Naturally.
I'd make you be Anthony.
Of course.
I would make Brett be Judge Turpin. Turpin. I'd probably be willing to cast Drew as, what's his name? That wormy fellow.
I know who you're... keep talking. I'll
the guy that, like, works for the judge.
Yeah, I'll keep remember. I know who you're talking about. I'll remember.
I'd selfishly cast myself as Sweeney.
I assumed as much.
But I feel like I could do it.
we got a monster and a Mountain Dew right now. We're set. We went to Red Robin tonight.
Oh yeah,
this is a good night.
It's been a night.
It's a nice Monday. This is my first Monday night off in months.
I asked for Wednesdays and my boss gave me Mondays. I'm
That's
not stressing.
Weird.
It's okay.
I mean, as long as you get a day off.
Yeah,
I might or an extra day off or two. I mean 2 days off.
Like, unironically, so he's got me on, like, a four-hour shift this Thursday. I might ask him to just make my shifts, like, exactly what this week is, though.
So, I'm totally curious. This is just a speculative question, just because, while we're here. Would you prefer having a weekend, like, 2 days next to each other, or would you prefer to have 2 days interspersed throughout the week off?
While I'm in school right now, I'd rather have them be interspersed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting a weekend.
Yeah.
I'm getting my, like, Sunday-Monday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Sorry, everybody.
We went to Red Robin. And
what's the monster?
It was... Oh, never mind then. It was delicious.
It was
delightful.
Really good.
I'm really glad we went.
Our waiter was a nice guy.
He was a very nice guy. His name was Thomas. Cool guy.
Shout out to Thomas.
Shout out to Thomas. All right. What are some questions you have for us this week? We're going to have to ask for more questions pretty soon, I believe.
We could probably get at least two episodes out of the questions.
We could squeeze 2 episodes
I have
out
left.
Of this. Okay, let's do it.
I want to go ahead and do the questions that I think are really easy to answer, though.
Okay.
You
know I'm going to throw a wrench into all of this and make it so much more complicated than it has to be.
Incorrect.
I'm going to do it.
Is Avatar the Last Airbender an anime?
I'm going to let you answer this first, and then I will offer my opinion.
No, but also kind of. No, in the sense that, you know, it's not traditional anime, because anime refers to these Japanese cartoons that are made traditionally based off of manga, which are Japanese comic books.
So is an anime to, like, television... What's the way I can compare this?
Like the Justice League show is like an American version.
So an anime to television is like... I'm going to say like punk rock to the music scene. Like there are things that are similar to it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but it's like you could listen to Green Day and that is punk rock. But you could listen to another band that kind of sounds like Green Day, but they're not punk rock.
Yeah, and here's what I'm going to throw out there. This is going to get me hate from any weebs out there. I do count it as an anime because it's influenced by the Japanese style.
And that's what I would say. It's the same thing. Like, you know I love Castlevania.
Yeah.
But people will say Castlevania is not an anime.
Well, so that's the thing, right? Like, there's a chart that
is it like a hierarchy of animes?
So there's the chart that classifies where it's like... it's like style purist, style neutral, style rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like... animation purist, animation neutral, animation like rebel. So Avatar The Last Airbender counts as like an animation purist, but it's like a style rebel.
Okay.
Or something like that. Like I don't know this, but I can't remember what the chart looked like, but it made sense when I was looking at it, where it's like its influence is like its animation style is correct to be an anime, its influence is correct to be an anime. It's just a Western cartoon that's heavily influenced. It's the same thing with like that old Teen Titans show.
Yeah.
But then you look at stuff like Seinfeld, which people used in this chart they called Seinfeld a style rebel and an animation rebel, which it's not an anime, right? But the chart was to just sort of show like the further bottom right you get, the further you get from being
actual animation.
Yeah. Anyway, so long story short, I think so, but just because it's got the proper influence and it's in the art style, like the traditional art style feel.
Like, to me, as an out, like, somebody, I mean, I didn't watch an anime until besides Pokemon, until I was 22. So to me, Avatar The Last Airbender was always anime. Like, that's how I saw it. It was anime. Because I was unfamiliar with anime. And that's why it fits into, like, my, you've heard people say this to me, we're like, oh, you listen to screamo music, right?
Yeah.
To anybody who doesn't listen to it, it's just screamo music. But to me, I can pull the whole, like, actually thing and, like, do, like, the hierarchy of, like, different kinds of genres of hard rock and metal and stuff. And so now that I've watched more anime, like, not very much, but, like, now I've watched some of Full Metal Alchemist, some of, like, My Hero. Like
great shows.
Awesome shows. I would recommend them, even though I've only seen, very small parts of them. Now I understand, like, okay, there are different styles of this animation style, and this is why people don't consider Last Airbender to be an anime. Like, I understand that now. I still don't necessarily agree with it, just because it's easier to classify things that way.
It's a Western cartoon, but I still count it.
It's heavily influenced by anime.
It's not like there's a board of anime directors that are voting things in and out anyway.
That little mumble you had, you're like,
Yeah. So let's try to bust out the next three.
All right, let's go.
And depending on how long that takes, we might answer another one.
All right, continue.
What's your favorite storytelling medium?
Poetry, actually.
Poetry.
Yeah, I love when people tell a great story through poetry. Because with poetry, you have to... I mean, of course, you read a really good novel, like a really, really great novel, or you watch a movie that really moves you, or you see a musical or a play, or even artwork you see that moves you. To me, I love language. I love, like, using words to elicit emotion in a spoken way. And so I love it when someone will get up and, like, a poetry slam or something like that. I actually used to compete in slam poetry. And they tell a story and they weave a tale with certain words that they want to elicit a certain meaning. And then throw, like, punchlines in there where it's, like a certain way of arranging words to elicit a certain emotion from you. And then, you know, often they'll do callbacks to like other parts of the story that you didn't really pay attention to in the moment, but suddenly it's like, they'll do a callback to something that suddenly you realize, oh, that's what that really meant. It just the way of, and it all happens like that fast. It all happens in like a 5-minute period, if even that. Mm-hmm. And so I love when people are able to successfully do that and be able to cause people, like move people to tears by telling a 3-5 minute story.
Okay.
and doing it in a way that only they have the skill and the talent to do it.
Okay.
So that's my personal opinion.
So something's crossed my mind that I have thought many, many times as far as telling stories go that I think would be just absolutely incredible to see. And I can't think of any good examples, but I know there's at least one out there of a story being told this way. I like film. I think film is a really good way to tell a story. I think that's a great storytelling medium. I think books are often better.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I've thought is I want to see this, and I'll probably end up trying to do it.
I'm sure you will.
I think that the best way to tell a story would be through an animation without dialogue. So an animation, so you're watching an animation, and it has those ambient noises, it has those like traditional noises like the footsteps and the doors opening and closing, but then the entire experience is covered in music. So that the musical cues are kind of carrying you through this dialogue-free adventure.
Would you consider Married Life from Up that kind of thing?
Yeah. So if you sort of took just the Married Life sequence from Up and extended that into a full-length thing.
Okay, okay.
And I'm saying...
So not just like a short thing you'd come across on like Instagram or something. You're talking like a full-length feature.
If you sat for an hour and a half and that was for the most part your experience, like obviously nobody's going to sit through an hour. I mean, probably not going to sit through an hour and a half
of that. Well, like you and I would totally
because that's artsy and I like it.
Yeah.
But if you had the story so it's broken up into pieces so that the pieces are broken up by like, oh, there's dialogue here, but for the most part, it's just this sort of, I'm listening to music and I'm watching a story tell itself. I think that would be incredible.
I'm sure you will do something like that because that's a really interesting concept.
That's a really me thing to do.
You like to push the envelope and not in a way that's like, hey, look, I'm pushing the envelope. Like I'm sure you know people who do stuff like that where
edgy it's like, for the sake of.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to do something different. Look at me do something different. Like it goes beyond that because when you watch a show or a movie or at least read a book and you see that someone's trying to do something different just for the sake of being like, look at me, I'm different. You can tell when they're doing that. But when someone is like, I feel like the only way to tell this story properly is to do it through this medium. Then, and there's heart in it, and there's passion in it. You can tell.
Right, and there are things that you can clearly tell when somebody's grabbing for attention. You can clearly tell when somebody's just doing it to be edgy. But you can also tell when they're doing it because they care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's enough on that.
Okay, continue.
Have you picked up any hobbies this year? Any new hobbies?
Podcasting? Yeah.
I got back into Magic the Gathering.
I mean, to be fair, I was podcasting. I've been podcasting for like 2 years, almost 2 years. But I started a podcast actually a year ago this month. That was exclusively me. It was just me with a script and a microphone, just doing my own thing by myself. And it was really scary at the beginning. And that's a hobby that I picked up and I've really enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, I got back into Magic the Gathering for a bit.
Explain Magic the Gathering to me in a nutshell. Like I'm four.
It's a trading card game that is focused around getting a really good deck that can beat your opponent's deck in a fight.
So, like, I played Pokemon cards as a kid.
Similar, but not the same.
Okay.
Because Pokemon focuses on you win by your opponent running out of creatures or cards. Like, you clear their whole bench.
Mm-hmm.
Or you collect every trophy card.
Okay.
Magic the Gathering, you win by reducing your opponent's life total to zero, or they run out of cards to draw.
Okay.
There are other cards with weird win conditions. Like, there's one that you win the game if you end your turn with more than 200 cards left in your deck.
Wow.
And there's lose conditions, too. There's a card that, at the beginning of every one of your turns, you have to choose a different effect on the card than you've chosen before, and there's, like, five effects, and one of the effects is that you lose the game.
Oh, wow. So if you don't win the game in five turns, then... Or get rid of the card in five turns, then it's over.
Then it's over. But then there's a-holes like me who have cards that, like, if you played that, you screw yourself. Because I have cards that let me take one of your turns for you.
Okay.
And I would choose for you to lose the game.
Okay, got it.
But then there's other cards where understand. It's like, you can't lose the game and your opponent can't win the game. Or okay. You can't win the game... And you also can't lose or whatever.
I've played like trading card games like that. Okay, so
I'm honestly willing to teach you how to play because it is a genuinely fun game.
I'd be interested, yeah.
That's the first time you said that.
I would be interested.
It is fun, and it's really quick to teach. But I just got back into it. I used to be, like, super heavily into it. For any avid listeners, you might be interested to know that when I was, like, 13 years old, I was in, like, the top 100 in the state of Utah. Really, really briefly.
Yeah.
And that was not because I was good. It's because every single week I went to tournaments with my friend John.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week, John and I, we kept climbing in the ranks because we were the only two that would show up. So they'd register that a tournament happened and that we both tied for first place. So I went, like, with a 3-month first places only streak.
Without really getting much practice.
Without playing the game once. And then I never did well in a tournament again once people started showing up. That's the hard truth that I don't usually tell people when I talk about my experience with the game.
Yeah.
I was still good at it, but John was better. John was always better.
Well, I know you like table... You like
long, I love games.
You like long-form tabletop games. Like, you love Warhammer.
Warhammer, Dungeons & Dragons. I got really into War Machine and Hordes for a little while, which is the same thing as Warhammer, but shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And any of you out there who are fans of those things, I'm sorry that you hate me because I said that. Magic the Gathering. I was into Pokemon for a while, but only online. I got into Yu-Gi-Oh! On an app. Like, I like games that take thought. Like Stratego. Have you ever played Stratego?
Oh, yeah. Dude, we've talked about Stratego.
Stratego is the only game I've never lost.
I was going to say, hey, let's play Stratego, but I don't want to now. I'm scared.
I have never lost Stratego, and I've played it lots of times with lots of people. It is the only game that I have literally never lost.
Well, you on New Year's Eve, you and I played chess, and that was one of the... I think that's the most engaged I've ever been doing anything with you ever.
Well...
Like, I was so engaged in that game of chess.
I won the first game.
And then you made a blunder in the second
game. And then I
made
a huge blunder in the second.
And I took advantage of it and won the game.
Did a good job taking advantage. So then the third game, I was, like, hard aggressive
on it. I know, you were, like, really aggressive on it. And I knew from, like, the fourth turn in that it was over.
And I'm not even good at chess. I hate... Like, I had a companion on my mission who was phenomenal at chess. There was one time that I could have beaten him, and I didn't take it because I didn't know. And he's like, hey, if you just did this and then did some super complicated series of moves, that wasn't complicated, I'm just dumb.
Yeah.
He's like, you could have forced yourself to win right there because I voted. He's like, if you did this, there's only one move I could have made, and it's this one. And then you could have done this, and I would have lost. And I was like,
thanks.
My brain doesn't work.
All right, continuing on. What were we talking about?
What was the question?
Oh, hobbies.
Yeah. But I think we've covered that.
Yeah, so hobbies. Well. Mine was podcasting. Yours was Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fell out of it, but I've kind of taken up writing again.
Yeah.
I kind of got back on that horse.
Yeah.
There was, over the summer, I actually finished almost every single stage play that I had in the works.
I remember.
And it burnt me out really bad, so I couldn't work on anything anymore.
I remember
anymore.
That, yeah.
Like, even the zoo, I finished it as a one-act form.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to extend it to being a full length, but mm-hmm. I did finish it as, like, a theoretical one act. And I'm not happy with it. That's why I need to extend it.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is, do you have any, like, coping mechanisms for, like, depression that you use?
For depression? For me, it's exercise. And okay. I have a story behind that.
Oh, go ahead.
And how I learned that.
I'm listening to you, but I'm going to throw this away.
That's okay. So I've had depression for the majority of my life, and you're aware of that.
Yeah.
I was first diagnosed when I was 9 years old, and I've kind of just had it off and on since. And not off and on. It's a pretty constant thing in my life. But I have good days, and I have bad days, and I have bad weeks and really good weeks. And so it used to be like I'd have a really bad month, and then I'd have a few good days interspersed in that month, and then I'd have another really bad month. But at this point in my life, it's actually more... What did you bring?
You just keep talking. I'm going to talk to you about this painting in a second.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the question. I just saw it and I was like, holy crap, I want to talk about this because I know what this is and yeah. I love this building. Okay. I need to see it.
So I was going to ask a question, but I'll finish the story first.
I think you might know whose it is.
I probably do. But back in like middle school and high school, I would have, the first like 2 years of high school, I would have really, really bad months with a few good days in between. Then my senior year of high school, it was like I would have a bad week, but then a good week, and then a bad week, and then a good week. And then, so for a while, I actually thought I was bipolar. But I'm not, fortunately. And then in college, my freshman year of college was really rough. It was at most of my first semester of college, I was just super depressed all the time. And that's when I started experimenting with ways to make myself feel better. Obviously, I had really horrible coping mechanisms at first. I used, like, physical intimacy with people I didn't really care about. If I had more access to drugs and alcohol, I probably would have taken them up. I slept a lot.
Have I told my drug stories on this podcast?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Eventually. Ask me about them.
We'll get there someday. And just, like, bad coping mechanisms like that. But then I got cast in a show with my ex-girlfriend who had just... She was the lead, and I was a secondary character.
What show was this?
It was called Mother Hicks. You would like it. It's a good show.
Okay.
But I got cast in it with her. She had just started dating somebody new. And she made it very clear with me that how happy she was with him and how wonderful he was. And she wanted me to know. And we were young. We were 18. And I'm not going to talk poorly about her a lot because she's a wonderful person and her and I are great friends. This was just a point in our life when we were very bitter with each other. We were very angry at each other. And we wanted to do whatever we could to make each other feel bad. Because, you know, we were young and stupid and angry. And hurt. And so I fell very deeply into a pit of depression because of this. Mm-hmm. Because I was not seeing anybody.
Really quick, I'm going to make a joke that I thought of that I said I shouldn't make this joke, but then it came really loudly back into my head.
Okay, go.
Would you say that you were young, dumb, and broke?
Yeah. I was.
I'm sorry.
She wasn't. She had wealthy parents.
No, but I mean like broke isn't broken, but anyway.
I was broken, but I was broken and broke. She was broken, okay. But she was not broke.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know. Literally, you said we were young, we were dumb, and then my mind goes, young, dumb, and broke.
So I got cast in the show with this girl. We were very angry at each other. We were very sad. We were very hurt. She was pretending not to be sad and hurt, but she was.
Based, most of us do.
And she started dating a new guy. She really liked him. I became very, 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 very depressed. Dangerously depressed. And so there was a gym in my apartment complex. And so I figured, you know what? Might as well try something and see if I've tried being an idiot. I've tried trying to kill the pain as much as I can with other things. I'm just going to go running and see what happens. So I went and ran on the treadmill. And it was like January, so it was pretty cold. But I went and ran on the treadmill. And I ended up feeling really good. Like, I was like, you know, the depression came back. I went to the show afterward. I saw her. I got sad again. But for those like couple hours after I was running, I actually felt pretty good. So I just started running like every day. And I would run. I'd go run. Some days I'd run like an hour. Other days I'd run like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Like, I just do as much as I could, much as I had the time to do or the energy to do. And because of that, I started eating better. So I'd have more energy to go running. Then I started doing push-ups and sit-ups after I was done running. And then it just became a habit. So even when the show was over, I kept doing that. And that actually made most of my depression symptoms go away. Oh. So for then my whole sophomore year of college, I really don't remember having very much depression during that time because I was so busy and I was exercising a lot. And I've kind of just kept doing that. Whenever I get into a rut at this point in my life and I kind of feel the depression coming back and I just start exercising. I actually started again this morning.
Oh, okay.
And like I went running at like 6:30 in the morning. Do you know how big of a deal that is for me to do? That's a big deal for me to do that.
No, that's awesome.
So yeah, so that's my exercise is my coping mechanism. Obviously, moderate yourself. There are people who exercise too much and it becomes like an addiction for them. Moderate, of course. But for me, that is my best coping mechanism because it releases endorphins.
Honest to goodness, I don't think I have a coping mechanism. But what I found though, I don't really have coping mechanisms. I don't have things I turn to.
I've noticed that when you get really depressed, you fixate on something.
Yeah, like, I have hyperfixations anyway.
Yeah.
But...
And I've noticed that sometimes they are healthy things. Like, when you write, like, an entire D&D campaign in 24 hours.
Oh, when I, like, sit down and bust out, like, a 45-minute play in a two-hour period.
Yeah, yeah. Like that is a coping mechanism.
Yeah, but it's not, like, a conscious thing that I turn to. The only thing that I've ever, like, noticed and been like, okay, I am genuinely happier in this scenario is on my mission, the more intensely I was studying scriptures, and I'm not talking, like, things that actually matter, things that count to know.
Just, like, deep lore.
Like, the deep, like I unironically, if you're thinking about books to get me, I think I've talked a couple times on the podcast about things that would be cool gifts to give me. Josephus, the Jewish historian, I would love to have his books because he is very succinct and he's considered the authority on Jewish history.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to read that because everything I've read from Josephus, I've just been like, that is incredible. That is really cool to know. He's just telling history. And I'm not super into history.
Dude, I'd be gonzo about that, not joking.
But Josephus tells the entire Jewish history, like, comprehensively. And he's considered the authority on it. And I'm not going to get too far into talking about Josephus and Jesus. But Josephus talks about Jesus, which is one of the strongest evidences we have of Jesus being a real person.
Yeah.
Is the fact that Josephus, the Jewish historian, the authority on Jewish history,
recognizes that he
mentions
was a person
Jesus as a human being.
He existed.
That he existed and that he did things a man couldn't do.
Wow, fascinating.
It's really cool, and I want to read more.
Is Josephus still alive, or is he
Oh gosh, no.
Are we talking like 1500s? Like,
let me look up Josephus really quick.
Yeah, like, are there any other questions?
Yeah, I'm going to ask a couple more, because we haven't actually been going for very long.
I'm going
to
go in 25 minutes.
Flavius Josephus was alive in 37 AD.
He was a contemporary. Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why it's such a strong evidence, is because he was alive. Because
he was alive not long after Jesus was dead.
So he probably talked to people who knew,
yeah,
who had spoken to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Like, he's one of the only, like, contemporary writers that's not Christian. He might have actually been a Christian. I don't know very much about Josephus, but I know that he cites a lot of what he says is strong evidence of the Christian God.
Fascinating.
But the more I learned on my mission, the more I focused on these studies and learning this history and, like, learning exactly what these prophets meant and exactly what these prophecies mean, the more I was like, I am genuinely feeling happier throughout the day. So basically, the closer I was allowing myself to get to God.
And I would go further to say, closer you were allowing yourself to get to God on your own terms and not on the terms that other people had set for you to do it.
Sure, and there are certain terms that people set that like God has set, where I'm like, okay, I can't really do anything about that. I have to do, like, you have to meet God on God's terms.
Of course.
But God's terms are a little bit more broad than some people like to think they are.
I'd agree.
Like, there is a path, and God has established the path, and it is a narrow path. But it is not a razor's edge.
You're not walking a tightrope.
You're not walking a tightrope. You're walking a narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I'm not getting too far into religion today.
Well, I was going to say, fortunately, there's a lot to see along that path.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, things that you can do to, like, be worthily and accurately, like, doing what you need to do. There are commandments, but there are so many things you can do to grow closer to him other than just following the commandments, because hitting check boxes is not being a Christian.
I say it all the time.
Anyway, so we're going to do at least two more. We can actually probably do four more.
Okay.
We have capitalism ? I'm just going to say, okay. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if it...
We could go really deep into this topic, because I've been studying it extensively
recently. I'm not in the mood to go into a huge capitalism tirade.
Do you want to do that later? Do you want to do that on a different day?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I kind of want to be done with all of this round of questions, because it is such an old round of questions.
Okay.
Capitalism, I'm going to say yes, if. And I'm not going to say what the if is.
I would agree. I would totally agree. Yes,
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I would say yes, if.
Pros and cons of communicating in a healthy way. Just going to say it right now. There are no cons to communicating healthily. There are only pros, and those pros are really simple. You will have better relationships, and you will live without anything living rent-free in your head.
And I would say any of the cons that will arise because of communicating in a healthy way are actually pros in disguise. Because, you know, a con, if you're upset about something, and you tell the person you're upset, if you tell them directly, you know, of course it's going to be like, oh, they're going to get sad about it for a moment.
That's not a con of communication. That's a con of the fact that that person's offended. It has nothing to do with the fact that you told them. It has everything to do with the fact that you were upset.
Well, yeah, but you're upset, you tell them. They wouldn't have felt bad about it if they never knew that you had been offended by it.
But
you would
they
let
wouldn't
it fester.
Have changed. They wouldn't have been able to work on it.
Like I said, any of the cons from healthy communication are actually pros in disguise.
I'll take that.
That's what I meant.
And I'm cool with just cutting that one there.
Okay, I'm good.
Are looks everything?
No, but they are important.
If you don't find somebody physically attractive, I am so sorry, but it's going to be really hard for you to find them attractive, period.
My bishop once told me you can't hug a testimony.
Kind of based.
My bishop told me that. It was great. I was 13.
You can be friends with anybody. You can try to date anybody. If you are the kind of person who says, I am willing to look past how somebody looks, God bless your heart, you are a better person than me.
I agree.
But if I don't find you physically attractive, I'm not willing to date you. Unless you're talking about, like, anything outside of a romantic context. If you're talking within romantic context, looks matter. Outside of a romantic context, absolutely not.
No, of course they don't.
I don't care what color you are, how tall you are, if you're severely deformed or scarred. I don't care outside of a romantic context. Within a romantic context, I have to find you attractive.
It is important to me to find the woman who I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with attractive. It just, it's important to me.
Brett once said to me, I wouldn't be friends with you if you were fugly. And I need my kids to find somebody that can say that to them.
Do you think Brett's going to be your kid's cool uncle?
Brett and I plan on living like pretty much in the same house for the rest of our lives.
That's right. I remember now.
So Brett's basically like their second dad no matter what happens.
Oh, cool. Does that mean I'm going to be a cool uncle?
Yeah, you could be a cool uncle if you visit.
I'm totally cool with that. I will visit.
All right.
I'll bring my city life to you.
Drop your personal big three anime list. That means your top three favorites.
I can't really because I've only seen like three.
Then, you know, think about the ones you've seen.
So I would say Castlevania, of course, my number one. I love Castlevania.
And I know you haven't really seen anything else all the way through, but just say based on what you know.
I would, based on what I know, I would say Castlevania and then Full Metal Alchemist because I love that it's a dark comedy. Like, it's like there are like dramatic, dark undertones, but there are really, really funny moments. And it kind of just takes you on a roller coaster ride through those. And then I love My Hero Academia, even though I've only seen like two episodes of
it. Okay, and again, those two that you haven't seen all the way through, I really do recommend watching the rest of them because I'm going to tell you right now, both of those are in my list here. My Hero Academia is second, Full Metal Alchemist is first. And then my third is like a huge toss up because there's a lot of movies that I've really enjoyed.
Oh, frick. I didn't even think of movies.
But I'm not counting movies.
Okay.
If I'm counting movies, then right now I'd say there's a ton of Ghibli films that I love. There's a ton
Ghibli's
of like other...
awesome.
But if I'm just talking shows, then number three right now is probably... I'd say something like Angel Beats or... No, probably Angel Beats. Angel Beats was one of the first that I ever watched, and it's one of those, like, it ran for one season, it's over forever.
One and done.
Have I ever talked to you about it at all? It's about a bunch of kids that are in purgatory.
Oh, interesting.
And they don't remember how they died.
Interesting. Very interesting concept.
And essentially, as soon as they, like, learn how they died and cope with what caused them to die, like, they kind of get over the trauma that led to their death, then they're reborn into the next life.
Okay.
And one of the kids... You know, huge spoilers here, sorry. One of the kids realizes the way that he dies, but doesn't disappear. He ends up helping every other kid move on before he gets to.
I would say, I think more shows should just run for one season.
It's really common for anime, but not television.
Well, because interesting, because I would argue, when you run for one season... You have your storyline planned out. You know exactly how it's going to start and exactly how it's going to end and pretty much everything in between. And a lot of TV shows, when they run, when they're very, very long form, they know how they're going to start, they know how they're going to end, but then they say, we'll just see how much we can fit into the middle until it ends. And sometimes it's not noticeable. Sometimes, like in Lost, it's very noticeable.
Oh my gosh.
Like super noticeable.
But sometimes you watch a show and it has pretty decent filler.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case.
No.
But... Angel Beats was one of those shows that I watched and I was like, that was really good. And I'm sure there's plenty of other... Like, I've seen so many different anime. I'm such, like, a freaking loser. But I've seen so many of these that I can't even, like... Right now, I'm just thinking of the one that I was watching today. And it's making it really hard for me to remember a lot of the shows I've seen.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this... I'm gonna say last thing. Last thing before we wrap it up.
Because, sorry, Caleb, you asked us a really interesting question... that we would need to actually prepare to answer, and I'm going to be honest with you, man, I don't want to...
Not tonight.
I'm not ready for
it. Okay, last question I want to throw at you. This is actually kind of a complicated question, but I want to throw it at you, because I've been wondering this for the last, like, 2 years of my life.
Okay.
So, I watched Spirited Away for the first time when I was, like, 21.
Yeah.
I watched it alone in my bedroom in the middle of the night, watched the whole thing, and when ended, I had this, like, feeling... I didn't know what it was, and I still to this day can't really describe what it was like. It was like a good, strange, like surreal feeling that movie left me with. It left me like more connected to the universe. I even kind of want to say that. So I'm wondering, I can't explain what it was about that movie that gave me that feeling. What do you think that movie conveys to, and like, how does it connect to the human experience?
Really quick, I'm going to say something. Unironically, that feeling is a little bit of an escapism feeling. Mm-hmm. It's like that joyful, like, almost like this waiting, this wishing, this wanting, but you can't figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Unironically, I believe that feeling is why people like anime. Because what a lot of people haven't realized and aren't paying attention to in this modern day is that 2D animation almost always, for whatever reason, conveys greater emotion than 3D. And there's this weird like connection that we have to these 2D shapes and images, because we're not trying to think of them as people, we're thinking of them as a story, as an artwork. When you watch modern 3D CGI stuff, a lot of it is trying to look as real as possible. They've stepped a long ways away from art styles. And that's why so many of these more modern animated movies, they're either really silly, really cheesy, they're just made to get kids to buy toys, whatever. A lot of those 2D ones are just kind of good. That's why those old 2D Disney animations like hit so close to home. There's just this weird human connection to this flat art that's moving. And I believe that that's the generalized appeal of anime, because there's so much of it, and they're always trying really hard to tell you a story that's going to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. Sometimes you're going to watch something like Megalobox. Megalobox is about guys just beating the crap out of each other in boxing, and it's actually kind of fun.
One Punch Man.
One Punch Man is just making fun of all the other shonen anime out there.
Yep.
Which is actually a really, really funny concept. Anyway, but that feeling... So Spirited Away specifically, right? Spirited Away... like, my takeaway from that is it's sort of conveying to us that... This is a weird question to answer. A lot of Spirited Away focuses around... I can't even remember her name. The little girl in Spirited Away.
I don't remember her name.
She is able to not turn into a pig because she's not greedy. But ultimately, her parents were turned into pigs by a witch who was trying to teach her a lesson. The question kind of becomes, well, what was that lesson? Like, because she wasn't that selfish child. She wasn't that horrible a child. She was a kid. So why did she have to learn this lesson about, you know, like, selflessness and helping people and being overall good? Like, what is the point? Why did she have to help Max Goof turn back into a dragon who was a river? Like, like, why did that have to happen? And I honestly believe that Spirited Away was not written with a very specific message in mind, per se, as much as it was, there's a story that felt the need to be told, and it tells itself very well. It tells the story of this girl who learns a lot of lessons that she didn't necessarily need to learn, but she learned them in a way that we can all kind of relate to because she's a child. She has those tendencies and those attitudes that a lot of us held at least one of them. So you're watching this movie, and you start to get these, like, feelings of, like, you can connect to her, you can relate to her. And she keeps acting very human in this world full of things that are not human, but they're also not inhuman, you know? It was a very good representation of, like, real life in a very, like, strange way. And the way it ends is very much like, just remember to be good and go be happy with your family who aren't going to remember or believe this happened, which is weird, but it doesn't feel like it had a moral it was trying to force on you. It didn't have that happy ending, but like wrapped up in a bow. It had that, did this even really happen to her? Did Lilo meet Megara and Max Goof and then have to journey around a bathhouse until she could turn Scream back into a nice guy? Like, it's self-fulfilling in a way that isn't presumptuous.
Maybe that's... Some of the best stories are... Like, my favorite movie is The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, and what's the moral of The Shawshank Redemption?
There's no clear moral.
Right. I love...
Some of the best stories are the stories that don't try to drill a life lesson into you.
Okay. 1,000 pages, pretty much, to read The Count of Monte Cristo.
Fantastic.
Which is the best revenge story, like, ever. Period. Yeah. It's incredible, but what's the moral? Get revenge on your enemies?
Yeah.
There isn't really a moral.
There's not even that big moment where it's like, no, revenge isn't the answer. It's
no,
like,
he gets the revenge and then disappears.
Yeah, there's no big...
He doesn't even suffer consequences.
Yeah. Like, you get that gratifying moment that's like, yeah.
They're all dead. And then he's just like, you can have all my money, I'm going to sail off on my yacht.
He just pieces out. That's it.
And you think about stuff like that, and it's like, these great stories, these stories that are considered classics, part of the reason they're considered classics is because... there wasn't a moral. You had to figure that out for yourself. Look at The Lord of the Rings. What's the moral?
There's no clear moral.
There's no clear moral.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. And well, some of them are very obvious, well, but some of them are inferred.
And I would argue that's why so many kids in high school, why they hate these books that they're forced to read, is because they're not spelled out for them. And we as our well, not our generation specifically, but the generation, particularly the generation younger than us, Gen X, they are...
Well, they're given phones from when they're four.
Or Gen Z, not Gen X. Well, yeah, Gen Z. They are conditioned to have everything spelled out for them.
Well, they're conditioned to have an 11-minute attention span.
Yeah.
And everything needs to be so clear. That's why none of these modern books that are selling well, like Game of Thrones, is not going to be remembered as a classic.
No.
Because George R.R. Martin can't even remember his own lore. Right? Like, he has a guy that's on call that is the Game of Thrones lore expert that he calls and he's like, hey, would this work? And the guy, George R.R. Martin, the guy writing the books, has a guy he consults to make sure he's not writing something that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
That's how convoluted it's become. And it sells because it has sex and dragons.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at, you go back into the classics, you look at The Scarlet Pimpernel.
You look at War and Peace.
War and Peace, which is a boring book.
Yeah, Les Miserables.
A classic. A boring book, but a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to fans of those French and Russian authors.
Well, let's be real. Anybody who is familiar with War and Peace or Les Miserables, who is our age, knows them because of either movies or musicals.
Yeah, typically. And I read War and Peace because I wanted to. It's in my room and it was boring.
And I read Les Miserables because I wanted to understand the musical better and it was boring.
Right. But you look at something like, let's look at another classic. Let's look at a classic that's actually not a boring read. The Scarlet Pimpernel. What is the moral of The Scarlet Pimpernel? Kill the French?
Kill the French and do it.
Do it in a way that's pretty fashionable.
Do it in a fashionable way.
But if you read the book, the moral is almost, I could easily draw the moral of the book to be, if I dress up like a Jew, then the French won't look at me. And I can get away with anything. Mm-hmm. Because that's how he survives at the end, is he dresses up like a Jew,
mm-hmm.
and they're so unwilling to get near a Jew that they just believe that it's not who they're looking for.
Use anti-Semitism to your advantage.
Yeah, right? And they beat like the crap out of him and leave him beaten up, but they didn't know that he was the guy they were looking for. Like, what is the moral? And there wasn't a moral. These great stories that are going to be remembered are going to be remembered because they tell a story. They don't tell a moral.
They don't try to beat something into you.
They just take a person, they take a situation that we can somewhat relate to, and they force it in front of us, and we watch it, and we see a human reaction with sort of fantastical circumstances, and we relate to it, and we remember it because it was good. Like, what's the last movie you watched that had a moral?
What's the last movie I watched? I legitimately cannot remember the last movie I watched. Star Wars. The last movie I can remember that I had a moral was Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Okay. Let's look at, just for the sake of like a movie that I've seen a million times that I hate. I don't hate it. I just am sick of it.
Mm.
Coco.
Yeah.
Coco has a moral. That moral is that like, you know, family's important or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, how much of Coco do you remember?
I remember the songs.
I remember the songs because they're catchy.
And I remember the moments that like made me... I remember
random moments.
The moments that like made me really emotional and stuff like that. But I'll be totally honest. If I try to think of the story as a whole, I probably can't tell it to you.
But then I look at something like a movie that I consider like a personal favorite, which I guess maybe it's not fair to pick a personal favorite. Let's pick something else.
Shawshank Redemption.
The Road to El Dorado.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is not a personal favorite. I love that movie, but it's not a personal favorite. It doesn't really have a moral.
Doesn't have a moral.
But I could tell you pretty much shot for shot what happens in that movie because I liked it.
Yeah.
It was good. It didn't force me to think about anything. It was just like, this is the story. Tulio and Miguel find a map to El Dorado. They find El Dorado, but now they're in trouble because they lied their way in.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they get out? Like, well, what happens? What's going to happen? They're in danger the whole time. They're pretending to be gods. Right? They're in danger. These people will sacrifice them to the gods that they're pretending to be.
I forgot how funny that movie is. It's so great.
But then you look at Coco and this little boy, like, what, he grabbed a guitar so he goes to hell? And now he has to learn the value of family. I don't remember that plot. I've seen Coco more than I've seen The Road to El Dorado.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm a racist. It has nothing to do with the fact that Coco's about Mexicans, because I love Coco. Right? Like,
yeah.
That movie's good. The music's fun. I just don't remember it. I've seen it a ton of times. Road to El Dorado, I remember that movie. I love that movie.
I don't remember. I don't know why, but I keep thinking of Shrek. But
Shrek, I remember Shrek. There's no moral of Shrek. I mean, there's a moral of the musical, the like the whole let your freak flag fly.
Yeah, the moral is like there's beauty on the inside. Or like,
but not really.
But not even really that much. Like, Shrek's kind of a bad guy at the beginning, let's be real.
Look at The Prince of Egypt. That's just telling a Bible story, and that movie's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That movie fell too far under the radar.
It's the fantastic. Musical's in London now.
As it should be.
Which means when Broadway opens back up, it might come over.
It'll
the
probably
States.
Go to Broadway.
I really hope it does because I want a soundtrack.
Okay, let's be real. We gotta wrap this up.
How long have we gone?
We've been going 45 minutes.
You know what? 45 minutes. That's a good comeback episode. We're gonna try to start recording more frequently. I'm not promising anything.
So here's what's going on. I'm taking my life back right now. I feel like it's been out of my control for a long time. And I feel like with these new, like, I told you I'm getting up at like 6:30 in the morning to go running.
Yeah, you're working to get your life back.
I'm trying to work. It's not that my life is falling apart or anything. I just feel like I'm not in control of it right now. So I'm trying to do that more. So as part of that, I'm going to say we're going to start recording it for this podcast again. Maybe give like weekly updates, see what we learned.
We want to do weekly. And I want us to record on Mondays so we can upload Monday night so that those of you who are downloading podcasts can download them on like Tuesdays or whatever. I want to give it to you at the beginning of the week, not the end of the week, not in the middle of the week. I want us to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So understand those of you listening right now, don't hold us to it because we're terrible. But we're going to start trying to upload Monday nights.
Yes.
I have Mondays off. It works out.
Mm-hmm.
For now. But thank you for listening. For those of you out there who haven't heard us talking to you in a while, I just want to let you know, like, you know, I love you very dearly. I'm very grateful for your listenership. I hope you're having a good time. If you're not, you feel free to email us. You can reach out to me whenever. I am here to listen. I want to be your friend. You
and
know?
What's our email?
But also
JD?
Remember, I'm fake. I'm
what's,
not real.
What's our
JD and Tanner talk about stuff at gmail.com. We're looking for more questions. We're going to post about it on our Instagram tomorrow. But, if you have any questions and you don't subscribe to us on Instagram, go ahead and email us at JD and Tanner Talk About Stuff. We should make an Instagram.
Okay.
Anyway, email us at JD and Tanner Talk About Stuff at gmail.com where we will, I mean, I'll probably end up being the one that reads it and responds to you, but we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for your patronage. I know I've ended every episode with the same sign off.
Yeah.
Like identically the same sign off, but yeah, I'm gonna mix it up a little bit today. Okay. On the count of three, we're gonna say the code phrase. One, wait, hold on, what was it? Yeah, one, two, three, Ronald McDonald.